Excellence is important. And speaking of excellence, oh, what about this man? Just leading the charge magnificently for the Australian women's cricket team. They are excellence personified. They made it 23 one-day international wins in a row the other day for the second game of the one-day series against New Zealand as part of the Rose Bowl. Matthew Mott is his name, and he's been good enough to join us ahead of the third and final one tomorrow. Good morning, Matty.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We are very well, thank you. I reckon your world's pretty nice at the moment, too. Gee, the girls are humming along magnificently. We saw the T20 series go really well. It was a strong series from both teams, but we really did perform well there. But this one-day format seems to really suit us down to the ground.
Yeah, it does. I think we've had obviously had a pretty good run for a while, but even before that, we were a good cricket team. But I think, generally speaking, we can look back to probably 2017 where we just improved our consistency. I think we were a good side, but we talk about trying to become great, and I think that's something that we're still aspiring to do. We've still got a lot of areas we can improve on, but generally speaking, there's a lot of depth at the moment. There's a lot of competition for spots, and the team's running quite nicely at the moment.
I was going to ask you how you keep the girls hungry and the team hungry for success and to be the best. I imagine the injection of new players probably helps that a little bit, and there's a few of those in the squad this time around. How do you do it?
Yeah, I think it's part of continued success is that you've got to keep looking for the next trends in the game, and we've done that. I think our selection panel, particularly for this tour, are looking ahead for the next World Cup, which is over here. Basically, this tour is a dress rehearsal a year out, and we've picked some young quicks, which we think can change up the game. And that Darcy Brown and Taylor Vlaminck have certainly come through. We've still got some talent on the bench that hasn't had a run. That at least they're absorbing the conditions. So you're right. I think young players coming in always adds that little bit of competition for spots, and the older players in this group have been really good leaders for a long time, so that certainly helps as well.
I was talking about this on the program a couple of weeks ago, Matt. I saw that documentary Beyond the Boundary from your tour, your Ashes tour in England, and I was really fascinated in how you coach the girls who, win most of the time, but the way you continue to challenge them to be better, I think it's really interesting because the players clearly just want to improve all the time. You've got a good group to work with.
Oh, we've got a fantastic group to work with, but it's taken a long time for us to get to this sweet spot. It hasn't all been all been roses all the way along. But we've learned a lot from our mistakes. I think where we are really good now is just our trust in each other and our candid honesty about where we were either very good and we'd like to acknowledge when we're good, but where we can improve. And I think over time that's taken a long time to develop. When I first sort of was in the group, our team meetings are very quiet and it was very coach directed. We've got one now in about 15 minutes and we'll debrief that last game, and to be honest, the players will do most of the talking and the review, and they'll be honest about their performance. So they're not averse to throwing themselves under the bus where they made mistakes, and I think that's when you can get real growth in a group, and it encourages other players to admit where they've made their mistakes and where they can get better.
Because can it be a trap, that's sort of the complacency because you win so much, to keep them not from being comfortable, or with the particular group you've got, it's actually quite easy?
Yeah, I think we've learned some lessons. I talk about 2017. We went into that World Cup, and I think, just across the board, there was an assumption that we'd be in that final, and I think, history suggested we're probably going to be there or thereabouts, but we got a real kick in the backside in the semi-final. India came out and played an awesome game. Their captain destroyed us, basically, and we were like rabbits in the headlights. And I think that, we always talk about it as a crucible moment in our sort of last few years. That was the one where that hit us hard, and I don't think we've ever been complacent since then. And I think we've learned from that experience, and we haven't had a World Cup in this format since then. So there's still plenty driving this team forward. So, I don't think complacency is an issue at all.
And, Matt, the beauty of it is the household names, Healy, Lanning and Perry, obviously they're still playing well, but it's the contribution of the others now. They're almost stepping up and going past, in a sense.
Those guys, we've had some great players before, but now they're on TV. They're in people's households. They can see them. So, we've had a bit of a golden age in the last 5 years, but I think it's as best as yet to come, where all these young boys and girls that are watching this team play and seeing how they play the game, which is seems to be resonating with with the public as well. We get a lot of really nice positive feedback about how the players play the game. I think that inspires young people to pick up a bat or a ball and play cricket. So I think, you know, that link to the next generation is very important for what drives this team as well.
And the conversation around more women's test matches, obviously the T20 and the one day is a fantastic, but would you like to see more test matches in the future to, I guess, try to master that as well as a coach?
Yeah, it's a difficult balance of test matches in female cricket. It's coming up a lot lately. In terms of the programming, we've had a quiet year this year, but our next 2 years is pretty much chock-a-block. We've got a couple of Ashes series, a couple of World Cups, a Commonwealth Games, all intertwined with our domestic competitions as well. So I don't fancy this guy, Peter Roach, who does all the programming at Cricket Australia. I don't fancy his job at all, trying to squeeze it all in. There's definitely, it puts pressure on our programs, because to play one test match, to get the bowlers' loads up, for instance, coming into that match, it's a really tricky balance just because we don't play a lot of it. So just to throw fresh into a test match is quite dangerous. And so therefore, we need practice matches before that, and it can lengthen the tour by up to a couple of weeks. So for some of the nations that aren't as flush with resources, it does put a big strain on them. So in the world game, it's a difficult one. I do think it's a premium product, and it's something we need to look at. But just getting into our schedules is the real tricky part.
Matt, Elise Perry, there's been a lot of talk about her bowling as she's coming back from such a long time out with injury. Is it a question of her just being eased back in, or is it more a question of the fact you've got other bowlers that are starting to sort of really lift and demand more overs?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think in the T20 where a lot of the debate about this started was that, Elise, to be honest, I think we did the numbers the other day, had only bowled her full quota of four overs five times in the last 20 games, preceding this tour. So we don't have a lot of bowlers completing their sets of four overs. Basically, the only bowlers that get that opportunity are the ones that can bowl in every phase of the game. We have the middle, the power play, the middle and the end. And someone like Megan Shute can bowl through all that. So she generally can get through at four. And Jess Jonathan as a spinner sometimes gets through. But those who are competing with others in those critical frames, sometimes it's just a perceived matchup from Meg, the captain, and it's like, I like this option better right here, right now, and she'll go with a gut instinct. And so, therefore, some good bowlers are getting over-squeezed. But certainly in the one-day format, if we want to play other quick, it does, once again, put pressure on, because we know our spinners, if teams get away, can really shut the board down. And that's pretty much what happened the other night when New Zealand got off to a really good start. So, yeah, it's tricky, but she's fully fit. She is easing back in, and we've got to remember, she came back from a very significant hamstring injury, so she'll just keep getting better and better the more cricket she plays.
Speaking of getting better and better, I can't get enough of Ash Gardner at the moment.
Yeah, she's our favourite, isn't she?
She's our favourite, Matty. It's a ridiculously good top six, but she's the one that captures my imagination and I love to watch. She's so dynamic, but she's capable in all formats of the game, and she's really evolved as a bat that can play take any position on the top six, really, but have an impact regardless of the situation. What's the secret to Ash Gardner's success?
Yeah, I think, like a lot of people, that you used the word evolve there. I think her evolution the last 12 months has been remarkable. We've always known she's an exceptional talent with bat and ball and in the field, but particularly with her batting maturity, where she... I think it took a while to sell to Ash how potentially potent she was for us, particularly in the back of one-day games where no one else can clear the fence like she can. And so selling her the role was an important one about, just because we're batting you at five or six doesn't mean you're the fifth or sixth best batter. It just means that's where we think you can have the most impact. So yeah. I think her ownership of that now is really clear. She loves it. She goes out there and really takes the game on. But more importantly, she gives herself a little bit of time before she goes. She hits the sweepers hard and gets her bat shape nice. And then she is as capable as anyone as, putting them in the stand. So that's been good. And I think with the ball, Meg's gone through a lot more now. We're probably, with Sophie Molyneux not in the team at the moment, there's some extra spin overs there, and she's relished that opportunity and spinning the ball hard.
Tomorrow, for the last game, you've got the series wrapped up. Do you blood anyone new, or do we see anything different, or is it business as usual?
We're certainly not doing it for change up sake. There'll be a change or two tomorrow, but that's based on how we sort of looked at it at the start of the series. So, we're always a bit mindful with Taylor Flamink that we don't try and, take the horse to water too much. And she's someone that we really need to look after. She's done exceptionally well. So looking after her is a priority with a massive year coming up in the World Cup. So, yeah, stay tuned.
All right. Well, we'll certainly be enjoying watching the last game tomorrow. Appreciate your time. Well done on the success of this tour so far. Look forward to chatting soon.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your support. Thank you.
Anytime. Matt Mott, the coach of the Australian Women's Cricket Team. Mm. Rose Bowl is under wraps. It's ours again. Stays with us. And the last game is tomorrow.
He went for it and he got it. The good question.
Yeah, it's a good effort. Yeah, he searched for it.
It's happened a lot this week, to be honest.
He searched.